to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today, my name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I bring to you part one of a new four-part series entitled Everybody Tells Somebody, with today's message specifically entitled The Great Commission, based off of Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. So let us dive into the Word today. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Amidst our own experiences with evangelism and the many doubts that we carry, Christ inspires and calls us to a life of faith sharing with the assurance that when we go, he goes with us. I hope you've had the chance at least to read the newsletter article if you're connected to our newsletter emailing chain. I hope that you had a chance to read it in this current month's newsletter. I know it just came out a couple days ago, but hopefully you read it. If not, this will be a bit of a spoiler as to what it is talking about. However, you should still read it, and you can find it on newtonumc.com. Just go down to news and you'll find the newsletter. Go down and click on news, I should say. But you should still read it, as it has a lot to offer in regard to what this new worship series is about. And that is, of course, evangelism. In it, I share about how Theology on Tap came to be about. And Theology on Tap, for those of you that don't know, is a small group that meets at a local brewery. We meet at Angry Eric. If you're in the area, please join us. But we meet at Angry Eric Brewing in Hampton, New Jersey. And it's a great small group. And we get to talk about different like theological issues that kind of have a relevance to everyday life. So the last particular meeting we had, we talked about what our personal experience was with God. So things like that, things that aren't hard for us to answer because they're relevant to who we are as people. I started this small group, and it really started with me looking for a third place to exist. You know, like your first place is at home, your second place is your job, your third place is a place where you can just be you, no expectations, no deadlines. And we had just gotten out of the pandemic, and finding community was something I was longing for. That, and I like beer, especially craft beer. So I decided to go back to this place I had been to before the pandemic called Angry Eric. I don't steal all of my thunder in the article. Let me just say that while I went there to find a third place, I am also an honest person and have nothing to hide. And so I knew that I would engage with people about my profession and that over time as people asked me what I did. And that could produce good fruit for the kingdom of God. Over time, that is in fact what happened. People got to know me. Eventually, people would ask me what I did. I'd tell them. And now people know me as a pastor there. In fact, I've even been lovingly nicknamed the Todd Father. I joke you not. But not everyone I talk to is religious. Not everyone ends up on the same page with me. But we are all friends, and we all respect each other and truly care for one another. When I was sick and not around for a while, people actually checked up on me. It's almost like church. Amen? So let me sum this up quickly in simple terms. I went to find a third place, but I remained open to share my faith with people. And God took care of the rest. That's how that's what I call, I mean, that's how what I call natural or organic evangelism works. Nothing is forced. It happens naturally and organically through relationships. It's who we are, not what we do. We as the church can sometimes shy away from evangelism because some of the ways it has been, because of some of the ways it has been used in history. I mean, if we redefine it for the modern context, we face a new and unique challenge of not only evangelizing to those who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, but also to authentically share the good news with those for whom the gospel has been misused and against whom it has been weaponized to cause harm. And we know that's been done in the past. And we all know that to be true. You know, historically, we know, especially in the 20th century, that evangelism often went the way of signs saying turn or burn. Evangelism went the way of telling people that they need to find Jesus or they're going to hell, handing out tracts, awkward conversations as you knock on people's doors who have no clue you're coming. You know, those are all the ideas we have of evangelism. And actually, all of those methods have, in some ways or others, caused harm to people, no doubt, even if it was well-intended. And when we look at how evangelism was done by the early church, and when we look at how it was done by Jesus in particular, and Paul, and the earliest Christians, we see that they did not do evangelism this way. Sure, they had some public preaching moments, but that was not the majority of how they interacted with people. Rather, they went into communities and got to know the people and shared the message with them, as you know, happens when you get to know people. They start to ask about you and you start to answer questions. So let's look at some words, for instance. Let's look at go and going. There are scholars who argue that translating this text that we read this morning to the imperative go in verse 19 is not quite accurate. Instead, it can be argued that the word is more accurately translated as a participle, like while you are going. This shift in understanding can actually change the sense of the passage. Instead of evangelism being a task we are commanded to complete, we are instead being asked to live our very lives as a witness to the gospel in all that we do, meeting others where they are along the way. Go, even amidst doubt. And the church has long found its marching orders in the Great Commission, verses 19 through 20, without paying much attention to the rest of the passage. For instance, let's consider the impact and importance of verse 17, where even in the physical presence of the resurrected Christ, the disciples both worshipped and doubted. Now, let me note that while the English translations say some doubted, the New Revised Standard Version updated edition just says they worshipped him, but they doubted, following the Greek text more literally. Perhaps this indicates that doubt, alongside worship, was more common. And yet, even in the face of that doubt, Jesus still said, go, or as you are going. Sometimes we find sharing faith a challenge because the world is doubtful of a higher power, of the teachings of the Bible, or of faith in one they cannot see. So let me lift up some of the doubts we, in my church at least, are currently struggling with, and I'm sure they parallel the doubts other churches are struggling with in this post-pandemic, if we're really post-pandemic. I don't think we're fully post-pandemic yet, even though the pandemic itself is over and we've moved to an endemic. The mindset of the pandemic hasn't fully gone away. The fear, the uncertainty hasn't fully gone away yet. So we're emerging into the post-pandemic world. And let's look at some of the doubts we are struggling with. Just in March, my church announced we were going part-time as a church, meaning that I was probably going to have to move and move, and a part-time pastor was going to be appointed to the church I'm currently serving. That didn't happen, obviously, thankfully, but still, we have only half a year or less before that could become a reality again. And we're not sure if the people who are MIA will start attending again, let alone giving. And the future seems uncertain at best, and this is every church's situation. Before the pandemic, you had the numbers of people who attended, and then there's after the pandemic, where a lot of those families have just not come back. You know, you lose the habit, you fall out of touch, you forget, you don't care anymore, whatever the case may be. So we're trying new things as a church, but that may not change things. We don't know. And we only have a handful of leaders to move the church forward during these very trying times. So does that sum it up pretty well? I would say it does for most churches. So friends, I want you to hear these liberating words. We do not have to be doubtless and perfect to start sharing the good news. We can have plenty of doubts and still share the good news. Through our witness, our experiences in relationship with Jesus, and the stories of our faith, however imperfect, God will inspire people to believe in the reality of Jesus Christ. So let's move next on to the words in and into. So often we talk about evangelism. When we talk about it, there is a focus on getting everyone baptized into the church. And doing as the text says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But theologian R.T. France describes how the more literal translation here would be baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. While the call is clear to go, tell, make disciples, and baptize, one of the things that people often lack and are longing for is the relationship with God. It is not just about becoming a part of the church as an organization or institution, about filling the pews. God, no. Baptizing them into, as Francis' translation suggests, calls people into allegiance with the Trinity and therefore into a lifelong relationship. So let me share an experience I had with you. When I was serving as a youth pastor in Vernon, I would often lead children's messages during the service. I used to love preparing messages for the kids and seeing how they interact. I love interacting with kids. Go figure, right? I was honing my kids' rock skills. Anyway, one week, and who knows if this makes it its way here someday, but one week I brought in a pebble and talked about how we can drop a pebble into water, no matter how big or small, and it will cause ripples to sweep across the water. A pebble, no matter how insignificant, can cause quite a bit of change in the lake around it. The same is true for us people. We are like pebbles, and we cause ripples too, sometimes positive ones, other times not. Anyway, I need not do the whole message here, you get the point. Afterward, like, you know, weeks later, one of the church members came up to me and said, "When you did that children's message the other week about the pebble and the ripple effects, that just inspired me so I could see a light glowing around you, and I knew it was Jesus." Here, I wrote this poem inspired by your message. And I looked at the poem and I almost cried. There it was, captured poetically. How beautiful. And the glow? I have no clue what that was about. I know I certainly didn't see light coming off me that day. All I can say is that she saw the presence of God around me and the children that day. She saw the presence of the Holy Spirit. So she saw Jesus there in our midst, and I unknowingly played a part in that. And so I simply thanked her and gave credit to Jesus. That's all I could do. This can be the way that each of us approach sharing Christ's kindness in the world. Sometimes the first step is showing love and kindness to all we encounter, whether to children or adults or animals or God's creation in general. The next step is not being afraid to say that. The source of the light that is shining within us is Jesus. I want to stress that the light that the woman saw in me is not exclusive to me. Amen? People can see that light in you too. And if they mention it, question it, you can point them to the source of that light, Jesus Christ. All you need to do is be authentically you and passionate about what you are doing. You also have to be open to people and allow them into your life. Community is a requirement. And this is all true no matter whether you are new to the faith or seasoned. Christ's light is within all who believe in and follow him. The key is to be authentic and to live into being evangelism rather than doing evangelism. Friends, doing something is a chore, or a process at the very least, that can vary in the results it produces. Being something, on the other hand, is tied to one's identity. It's who they are. It's what they embody. It's what brings them life-giving joy. What would it look like if we as the church were to see our call to evangelize not as one task among many, but as an overall approach, structuring our days from morning to night? Imagine being that daily witness who brings others into a Christ-filled life. Our lives become shaped by the call to evangelizo, or our evangelism or witness becomes an announcement, a telling, not just with words, but with our actions and behaviors too. A culture shift like this for our church begins to generate the same kind of excitement as invitations to a big celebration, where it's not just another thing we do. The Great Commission also becomes the great invitation, one that all of us can rally around and help share this amazing good news. So let us invite people to this awesome family of ours, where Christ is our Lord and we need not fear anything, not sin, not evil, and certainly not death. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you for this message, and we just ask that you spark in us the desire to follow you faithfully and to share our faith with others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I want to thank you for joining and tuning in. I hope you got as much out of this as I get out of it. And I thank you for listening week in and week out. If you have a chance, check out the episode notes where you can certainly give. The links are there. You can give to First United Methodist Church of Newton, if possible, which we'd appreciate. But remember, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.